to the True Wealth Financial Show, a show dedicated to providing you the information and inspiration to navigate financial decisions, intentionally build wealth, and retire with confidence. And now, here's your host, Mike Potter.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the True Wealth Show. As always, thank you for taking the time to tune in and watch or listen. Super proud of you for doing a great job on continuing to invest in your financial future. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Albert Einstein said in relation to compound interest, "He who understands it, earns it. He who doesn't, pays it." Today, I want to talk about financial independence a little bit and how financial independence is a function of savings more than anything else. If you stick around to the end, I got a resource to show you and I'll give to you, and then it might be helpful. But first, a little about FIRE. Maybe you've heard of the FIRE movement, Financial Independence Retire Early, FIRE. It's probably been around for a long, long time, but I first heard about it really around the 2012 timeframe. There's a guy named Jacob Lund Fisker who wrote a book in 2010 called Early Retirement Extreme. He has a website today, and according to that website, he has 160 years of income saved. So kind of, I think he's kind of a Dutch, kind of a little bit weird kind of guy, but really highlighted the point and made it clear for me. The guy who popularized it a little bit more, at least for me, was a guy named Mr. Money Mustache, a guy named Pete out of Longmont, Colorado, kind of popularized it a little bit more. But it was there through them that I realized that financial independence is a function of savings really more than anything else, even income. And so to help highlight this a little bit, I want to go back a couple of decades and explain something called the Laffer Curve. So let's understand the setting of the 1970s. The late 1970s, the economy was a mess, stagflation, high unemployment, tax rates were out of control. For example, in the year I was born, 1977, you can see that the lowest tax rate was 14% and the highest tax rate was 70%. With 23 various different rates in between. That's a lot of tax rate. Talk about difficult tax planning. But a decade later, one year after Ronald Reagan's famous 1986 tax reform, we can see now that there are only five brackets, with the lowest being 11% and the highest being 38.5%. Legendary lore states that the Laffer Curve played an important role in the reduction of taxes and simplifying of the tax code. It was first drawn in a restaurant, according to lore, by a guy named Arthur Laffin. So let me draw this a little bit to help you understand what the Laffer Curve is.
So the Laffer Curve is based upon XY axis, where on the X axis, we have tax rate, of which taxes occur. So 0 to 100 would be the maximum. 50 would be the minimum. Again, in 1977, it went from 14 to 70%. And on the y-axis is we have essentially government revenue. How much money the government is breaking in from taxes. So general theory would go something like this. Higher percentage, the higher the money coming in. But what Arthur Laffer determined was that's not the case at all, but rather the curve would look something more like this. Because if the tax rate was zero, obviously there would be no income. You weren't trying to get tax money off the rate because the rate was zero. But that same principle would be true at 100%, because if the government took 100% of every dollar you made, what would be your incentive to go work? Zero. You wouldn't get any money on it. So what Arthur Laffer is trying to say is the higher the rates, you're not getting
more revenue. You're actually getting less revenue at this rate than you would otherwise. And some point in here is where we're trying to get to the actual highest amount. So the point is the extremes. At this point, we will get no revenue. This point, we too will get no revenue. Now, we can argue about the skewness or the kurtosis of the curve, but that would miss the point, right? What we're focusing on is kind of the end and the extremes. The interesting thing is that this concept, though, can also be applied to financial independence. Financial independence is the idea that you are not dependent upon income to sustain your living costs, right? You're not dependent on it. You might still work, but you're not dependent upon it. You have enough savings or assets that will generate the income that you need to live. So if we apply this same idea to financial independence, the core idea of the financial independence is you have enough capital revenue, you don't need to work. Now, it's obviously more complicated. Retirement planning is a lot more complicated than that, but just go with me to help illustrate this. And again, let's go back to another drawing.
So again, applying that similar concept to financial independence, we again have an XY axis, where on the X axis is years to financial independence. And the Y axis would be savings rate, percentage of our income that we're saving. And so go from 0 to 100, 15 being ideal for baby step, 4 for retirement, and years to financial independence. Obviously, goes to go from 0 to 40 years is a typical working career, could be longer, things like that. So again, playing that same concept, let's look at the extremes. If you're saving 100% of your income, how many years would it take you to get financially independent? Well, it'd be 0, because you're saving 100% of your income, which means you're not spending any of your income, which means you have income from other assets. So you could, in theory, retire now. But if you're saving 15% of your income, it's going to take about 40 years, a lifetime, essentially, to have enough money to replace what you're then spending. You're spending 85% of your income. So the curve, again, while not exact, would be something like that, meaning that the higher the rate, the less time it would be to achieve financial independence. The lower the rate, the longer the time it takes to achieve financial independence. And if you save nothing, you know, that line keeps on going down, 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 down. Essentially, in perpetuity, you'll never retire because you're saving 0% of your money. So this shows us how, similar to the Laffer curve, financial independence is a function of savings rate, and the higher or lower the savings rate has a direct correlation upon the number of years, short or long, until you can achieve financial independence.
So here's a spreadsheet to give us a little bit more information on this. So across here, we have a couple of things, how much we're making in terms of percentage, and the idea of our savings rate. So again, if you're saving 100% of your income, that means you're not dependent upon any of it to spend because you're saving all of it, which means essentially you are getting your income from other assets and you can retire now. The next illustration here is the idea if you're saving 95% of your income, that means you only need 5% to then spend to support your income. Well, if you're saving 95% of it, how many years would it take you to get that other 5% and then be financially independent? 1.5. And we can see as your savings rate decreases, the number of years to retirement increases. Now, this is based upon a couple of assumptions here. Making $100,000 a year, an interest rate of return of 10%, and a distribution rate of 5%. I won't talk in great detail of that, but you can see the idea. There's a chart over time here that the lower the savings rate, the longer it is to achieve financial independence. So I only did this to kind of halfway through, but there's a second chart over here where you can see, you know, the longer extension. If you're essentially saving 1% of your income, it means you're spending 99. It's going to take you 55 years to retire. That's probably longer than a lifetime, right? So not very good. But here's the interesting thing. You say, oh, well, Mike, if I made $100,000, sure, it'd be easier to say. But here's the key. If I change this to, say, $40,000, nothing changed. all those years stay the same because it's a ratio. It's a function. If I said, if you're making $1 million a year, right? Add an extra zero. If you're making $1 million a year, it doesn't change at all because it's a function of savings rate, not income. It has nothing to do with it. Now, obviously, the distribution rate would change. So if you're a 4%er, right, that has an impact for sure. And so does the rate. You make more, better investments. Obviously, it reduces the time. If you do less, you know, on your investments, it does less over time. So obviously, there's a correlation there. So I have a second spreadsheet here, a little more complex, shows a little more details. And I'll show you how you can get a copy of this if you want to play around with it and see some options in there. But just again, to illustrate, right, we changed the income to $40,000, none of the actual points on any of the darts change. If we change your rate of return to 15%, right, we see things change. If you only get 2% on, you know, you can compare and contrast here. And this gives you a little bit of kind of a under the hood of how these are being calculated of time, value, money, and equations and the number of years to achieve those. But, and you can just see how long the difference is of over time, various different scenarios. So I'll show you how I can make this available to you if you want to get this chart where you can calculate your numbers. Okay, before I tell you how you can get that spreadsheet, a copy of it if you want, let's go into Right Capital and let's see how this plays out a little bit for Joe and Jane Average. So jumping into Right Capital here, we can see Joe and Jane Average, a couple in their early 30s with two children, Jenny and Jimmy. They're basically an average American couple. So they have a little bit of savings. They have a little bit of debt. They have mortgage, they have a car loan, they have a couple credit cards, a little bit of student loans. They own two cars, they own a house, they have a little bit of money in their checking savings, they're putting a little bit into retirement. They're just kind of average, not really doing a whole lot of anything well, just kind of the bare minimum of everything. They have some goals in terms of keeping some cash on hand. They want to buy a car every 5 years. They want to help contribute and pay for their kids' college, and they want to retire around age 67. We look at their income and savings. Essentially, they make a little bit over $80,000 a year. Joe's putting in 3% just to get the match in his 401k. Jane's putting $150 into a Roth IRA because she thinks her savings for retirement is a good thing. And it is. They're spending about $3,200 overall, not inclusive of their mortgage and their other debt payments. So let's see how this turns out for Joe and Jane. And we look at the probability of success. We find out that it doesn't do very well. So out of 1,000 different possible scenarios, all 1,000 of them fail. If we look at kind of a projection of that, they do okay. Then they hit the college years, they do a little bit better. And basically first year into retirement, they don't make, they're out of money, essentially. They never achieve financial independence. We look at the cash flows, you know, they're kind of going into debt every couple of years for the car. They're going into a lot of debt at the college years. And then as we get down to retirement, basically they're out of money and they don't do very well. So we're illustrating here that savings rate and time have a correlation of financial independence. So we currently have them retiring at age 67. What if we change it to age 80? And we go down and refresh that. What does that do for their plan? Well, it increases it. They actually have a chance of making it now. Now, is 10% great? Absolutely not. But it's better than 0%. And what if we couple that with their increased savings so we get them to save 20% instead of just 4% of their money? And what does that look like? Well, now they have essentially 100% rate of return, and they end up at the end of the plan with $2.4 million, right? So we've added, we increased two different things. We increased their savings rate, which is a function of financial independence, and we increased the time. And we go back and look at now those cash flows in the proposed plan. We can see that they're adequately saving over time, still have a little bit of debt here and there, or negative cash flows, I should say. But their plan makes it all the way until end of life, where they're essentially just taking money out of their accounts at that point. We can see they kind of grow up. They have millions of dollars later in life. They achieve financial independence because we've added a lot more time to their scenario and savings. Hopefully this helps illustrate a little bit the idea of relationship between savings and time. and how financial independence can be achieved, but it's a correlation of savings rate. So the reality of the situation is there's a lot more variables, again, for retirement planning than just these two, but the concept holds the same. You have to save money, and the sooner you save, the better. The more you save, the better, as it pertains to wealth, financial independence, and building wealth. So for those of you who are on our weekly mailing list, you'll get a copy of this Excel spreadsheet in there. For those that are not on the list and you want it, you can send an email. Just send an email to mike@truewealth.show and just simply put the subject of years, all capital years, YEARS, and you'll get an email back of how to obtain that spreadsheet so that you can take it and plug in your numbers, your savings rate, and see the difference. Your micro action for the week. Under this basic premise, determine the number of years to when you hit financial independence. Again, this spreadsheet here will do a great job of helping you determine that. If you use some kind of retirement planning software, you can use that. If you have an advisor, talk to them about that. But it's something that you want to know. Do you ever hit the point of financial independence? And if you do, how many years is it? Today, we talked about how financial independence is a function of savings. We applied the concept of the Laffer curve to show you that there's a relationship between savings rate and the number of years towards financial independence. And again, we show you that same concept in a spreadsheet that you could get, again, if you want, by simply sending an email to mike@truewealth.show with the subject of years, where you can plug in your numbers. Hope this helps you on your financial journey. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them below or send an email to mike@truewealth.show. mike@truewealth.show. And until next time, hope you have a great day. Thanks again for taking the time to watch or listen this week's episode of the True Wealth Financial Show. I encourage you to like, share, subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Additionally, you can go to www.truewealth.show for more information and resources. One final note as we wrap up today's show. I hope the information that you were provided was helpful and valuable, but I want to remind you that it's really for educational purposes only. Prior to making any decisions or taking any actions, I would strongly encourage you to talk to your legal, tax, estate, or financial advisor who's familiar with the circumstances of your situation. Until next time, I hope you have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are for general information and educational purposes. Mike Potter is an investment advisor representative of True Wealth Financial Group, a Florida registered investment advisor. You should consult a financial advisor familiar with the specific circumstances of your financial situation before making decisions. Nothing in this show constitutes a sale or solicitation of a specific securities. Any mentioned rates of return are historical or hypothetical in nature and are used for illustrative purposes and are not a guarantee of future returns. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.